Before we get started in this week's podcast, I want to invite you to register for our first annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference. We are bringing a mix of beer and psalms, fellowship and food, and engaging speakers to Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd, and we hope to see you there. We will be wrapping up the conference with a full network show, and all your favorite hosts will be up on stage. Go to the link in the notes section of this podcast to register now. Early bird registration ends June 15th, so you don't want to wait any longer. Not only that, but much of my family will be there, so seating is already limited. See you in Nashville. The past week saw some encouraging signs that Major League Baseball will play ball in 2020. The next week or so is vitally important. Will Major League Baseball provide a small dose of healing? Happy Memorial Day. Welcome to In the Bullpen with Mark Dewey. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for joining us.
And look who's coming up. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Overall, this past week was a good one for Major League Baseball. Yeah, there were some things that were not so encouraging, but much of the news was more encouraging than it has been. First of all, the Players Association went over the 67-page health document, and while there's going to be some changes that have to take place, it doesn't appear that there's anything that's really going to be a sticking point in that document, as at least as it regards bargaining. Also, ballparks around the country, some spring training complexes, some major league ballparks, have opened up and players have gone in to work out to prepare for what they hope will be a 2020 season. This past week saw less bickering. Not none, but less bickering between owners and players than the previous week did. And a number of organizations made announcements that they would continue paying their workers, in particular player development staffs. Some have made that commitment for the next month or so. Some, like the Milwaukee Brewers, my former employer, have made that commitment through the remainder of the contract. But that is great news for me personally, especially as I have so many friends that still work with the Brewers, and they can breathe a sigh of relief for that. Sadly, however, not all the news has been good. Other organizations are making some cuts, most notably the Los Angeles Angels, who appear to be making massive cuts to their workforce. Also a group that is often overlooked generally, but especially in this situation, are minor league baseball players. In particular, guys not on the 40-man roster, guys that almost certainly won't be on the taxi squad if Major League Baseball begins. They're getting some pay. It's only guaranteed through the end of this month, but they're trying to remain physically and mentally or emotionally ready for a season, and yet they don't know if there's going to be a season. And I would say almost certainly for the vast majority of minor league players, there won't be a season. And a certain percentage of that vast majority will be released before next season, which means that their dreams have come to an end in a very unusual way. Now, of course, that has been the case for many of us during this time. But minor league baseball players are often overlooked, and they shouldn't be. But as I said, this next week, maybe the next 10 days, is vitally important. Major League Baseball and the Players Association is going to have to negotiate through things, and in particular, economic issues in this next week or so. If they want to start spring training 2.0 around June 10th, if they want to get a season started around July 4th, obviously, all the health issues have to be taken care of, but as it regards owners and players, the economic issues are the things that are most significant right now for them to agree upon. It has been reported that tomorrow, Tuesday, the owners will give an official proposal to the players. Now, you remember, there has been talk, or it's been leaked, that the owners want a 50-50 revenue sharing split for this season, and that the players are saying, no chance, that's a salary cap. Well, that proposal has never officially been made. It was leaked out there, one of the bad things that's been happening through all this. But an official proposal is supposed to be forthcoming tomorrow, Tuesday, for the players, and that's where we will see how the owners and the players work through this. And it's obviously very important that they work through it to the best of their ability, overcoming all of their animosity, all of their lack of trust to try to do what's best for baseball and what's best for our country. As Larry Brown wrote, a season needs to happen for all parties to be better off. Major league, minor league, owners, team workers, and fans. And there's no doubt that that's the case. And Major League Baseball needs to come back for all of those reasons. We want it to come back because we want to see the best players in the world playing baseball again. But also because many see that if Major League Baseball can be played, even if it has to start or even go the whole time without fans, that actually being played will provide a small dose of healing for our country and what we have gone through over these last several months. Also, people say that baseball would give all of the people, at least all of the baseball fans anyway, something to cheer about. Now, I grant that such statements or sentiments can be overstated or romanticized. I get that. But there's also a lot of truth to it. And not only that, but baseball has accomplished these kinds of things in the past.
Lopez wants it away.
Mike Piazza hit that home run off of Braves pitcher Steve Carsey. Sorry about that, Cars. Back on September 21st, 2001. It was in the heat of a pennant race. The Braves were in first place. It took place in the bottom of the eighth. The Mets were losing at the time 2-1. It put them ahead 3-2, and they went on to win that game 3-2. But that's not what made that home run so special. It would have been special to a degree if it was just a pennant race and just a victory for the Mets, but it wasn't. This was the first sporting event that took place in New York City after the events of 9/11. Both teams, the Mets and the Braves, weren't wearing their Mets and Braves hats, but instead were wearing NYPD and FDNY hats in honor of the police and fire departments in New York City and the people who were there and alive, and also the people who had died going into the Twin Towers trying to rescue others. People describe that home run as the home run that helped heal New York. Others have said that people all over the country finally had something to smile about. Well, Mike Piazza hit 427 home runs in his Hall of Fame baseball career. But when he gave his induction speech in 2016, 15 years after, the only home run that he mentioned in that speech was the one that he hit on this night. And Piazza said this. He said, "People wanted to find refuge in baseball and a crowd and being around other people. It has a tendency to ease the pain a little bit." And I think he's right. I think it eased the pain for a lot of people. Maybe only a little bit, but a little bit is better than nothing. Now I'm going to play several clips, audio clips, from something that I came across on Facebook. It's actually ESPN's Facebook page. And it's titled Mike Piazza's Home Run After 9/11. I would suggest you listen to it. It's only about 9 minutes long, and I will attempt in the next day or so to put a link to that particular clip in my In the Bullpen Facebook page, and I encourage you to listen to it. In these clips, you're going to hear some voices. Many of them will be familiar to you if you follow baseball. The very first voice you'll hear will be Charlie Steiner of ESPN, and then through the various clips, you will hear Bobby Valentine, who was the manager of the New York Mets at the time. You'll hear from Chipper Jones, the Hall of Fame player who was with the Braves his whole career in this game. But then also you'll hear a female and a male voice that you will not know who they are. The female voice is the wife, the male voice, the brother of a firefighter, Ronnie Gies. I hope I said that right. And he was a father of three sons. It's his wife and brother speaking, and he died in the North Tower on 9/11.
We are just 14 miles from ground zero. Last night, President Bush told us it's all about a battle of freedom and fear. And tonight, here at Shea Stadium, the first steps in that battle.
We were dealing with fear in a way that I don't know I ever dealt with it, and I know my team didn't, and I'm sure most people didn't.
I was scared to death. Scared of, you know, secondary attacks. A lot of the guys on the team would not allow their families to travel with us.
I remember being very uncertain whether to go or not. But the three boys and myself had decided as a family, it's where we belong. Ronnie would definitely want us to be there.
They said to Bobby Cox, let's show them we're in this together. How about shaking hands before the game, the entire team?
We were heated rivals. We did not like each other very much. But if I didn't hug every guy on the mess roster that night, I came damn close to it.
Now I know there are significant differences between what took place in the attacks of 9/11 in 2001 and what is taking place with COVID-19 in 2020. However, I think it's obvious that there are many parallels between then and now, between that situation and our situation today. And many of the things that needed to take place then in baseball and for our nation need to take place now, both in baseball and for our nation.
He hits a towering home run to put us in the lead, and people said, yes, we can come back.
I stopped at one point and just watched my children jumping up, applauding, smiling.
This place exploded. It's been waiting to explode all night.
I still can't watch that home run without getting tears in my eyes. A lot of people might have realized that in such tragic times, good things still can happen.
I never liked losing. Never liked losing to the Mets. But we were all okay with losing that night.
Think about those final words from Chipper Jones. The Atlanta Braves were in a pennant race. They were, I think, that night going into that game, a game and a half ahead of the Phillies, five or so games ahead of the Mets. This game mattered significantly. Not just because you hate losing, but it mattered because potentially a pennant was on the line. Now, the Braves did go on to win the division over the Phillies by a couple of games. But again, Chipper Jones, who hates to lose, who hates the Mets, who was in the midst of a pennant race, recognized that sometimes things are bigger than a baseball game. Sometimes things are even bigger than a pennant race. Very important things for us to keep in mind in our day. Now, those were comments that were made after the fact, after Mike Piazza had hit that home run on September 21st, 2001. But 4 months later, I was a coach for the Mets, and we had meetings in New York in January of 2002. And so when I went to those meetings, they were held at Shea Stadium. We went there, again, only 4 months on the other side of 9/11. And when we got there, one of the first days we were there, when we all met together in Shea Stadium, a couple of high-ranking police officers from the New York Police Department spoke to our group. And this was a group that would have included Bobby Valentine and the Major League staff. It would have included Steve Phillips, who was the general manager of the time, all the player development people. So there were a lot of men in this room. And one of those police officers that was there was at Ground Zero during virtually the entire morning of 9/11. And when he was speaking about what he went through and what happened that morning, for all of us that were there, the events of that day took on a more profound meaning. And when they were done speaking, they showed video footage. Footage from that morning. Footage that had some very vivid, vivid sights and sounds. And most of these had not been shown on television. And then the video concluded by showing still pictures of all of the members of the New York Police Department who had lost their lives on that infamous day. Most of those people were men, from what I could tell based on the picture, from their mid-20s to their early 40s. And no doubt many of them were husbands and fathers. And they left behind widows and fatherless children. And when the video came to an end, again, dozens of grown, strong, manly men in that room had their heads lowered and were wiping tears away from their eyes. It was a reminder to us not only of those who were in the building or buildings when the attacks took place, but all of those who rushed in and gave up their own lives for the sake of others. Now, a couple of days after watching this, with a couple of other guys that I worked with the Mets, we got on the subway and went from Flushing to Manhattan. And because we were with the Mets, the police officers there at Ground Zero allowed us access to a couple of platforms overlooking the area. And even though it was 4 months after the fact and a lot of cleanup had already taken place, as I looked, you could still see the death and the destruction. There were memorials scattered all around the area. There was a mass of rubbish. There were partially burned and tattered buildings. And even though it was later at night, and even though there are lights all over the place to allow the workers to continue the cleanup, there was a heavy sense of darkness and a chilling reminder of what took place on 9/11. And so again, taking into account how baseball played a role in bringing healing, at least to some degree, to our nation, we hope that maybe that can happen again here in 2020. And as today is Memorial Day, and we think about and we are thankful for those who overcame their fear and went in to fight and who died to protect our freedoms, we need to say thank you to their families. We can't thank them. They're gone. But we have to have a thankful remembrance. We need to thank their families. And most of all, we need to thank God for those who have sacrificed all for our freedom. I think the words of General George Patton are perfectly fitting for a day like today. He said this, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." And indeed, that is the right way to celebrate Memorial Day. But if we're talking freedom, we are always grateful to God for first responders like those in the New York Police Department and Fire Department who ran into harm's way to try to save others and gave their lives doing so. We are grateful for all those who have gone into war and have fought and have died so that we can have our freedoms. But we always have to keep in mind that true and lasting freedom is only found in Christ, and He has indeed set free His people. And we have no reason to fear man or to fear a virus, because they can only kill the body. Now, that doesn't mean we're being presumptive. It doesn't mean we do foolish things. But it does demand that we live as those who have been set free by Christ, and those who know that to live is Christ and to die is gain. A friend of mine wrote these words about a month ago. His name is Kevin Rigg. He wrote this, "Infect me with 1,000 times over, with 1,000 incurable viruses, and let this frame die 1,000 agonizing deaths. But keep me from hearing even a hint of one biblical woe." Amen, brother. I believe that what President Bush said in 2001 was fundamentally right. It was about a battle of freedom and fear. And I also believe that that is true about what's happening right now in 2020. Then there was an attack from outside of our nation, an attack of moral evil. Today we're dealing with natural evil, the COVID-19 virus, but also we're dealing with the fear that has come from within our country. And I really believe that the statement of it being about a battle of freedom and fear is applicable to all of our life on this earth. And it's not just the battle that takes place outside of us, but within us. And to me, that's clear enough. What puzzles me is why the church that has been set free by Christ has been living in such fear. But that's a conversation for another day. Join us next time for In the Bullpen on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Thank you for listening, and happy Memorial Day.